Okay, good morning, everybody. I want to continue, as I said I would do this week, sharing some insights from Rav Soloveitchik, Hor Rochav, and the Rav on the Magid section of the Haggadah. I mentioned yesterday the Rav's interpretation of the story with the Talmidei Chachamim who gathered together in Bnei Brak. I mentioned to you from the Aruch HaShulchan, not from the Rav, but from the Aruch HaShulchan as to why they dafke went to Bnei Brak. They needed the optimist, or the great optimist, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the younger member of that group, not the youngest, but a younger. Rabbi Elazar was his Rebbe. So why'd they go to Bnei Brak instead of to Bnei Brak to Rabbi Akiva lived? Why didn't they go to where Rabbi Elazar lived and so on? So the Rabbi Elazar lived in Lud. But anyway, because Rabbi Akiva was the optimist and under difficult times, Rabbi Akiva, who would perhaps show them more than anybody else, who could, you know, how to spend Pesach, and how to observe, and how to celebrate Cheres and Gula at a time when the Jewish people were suffering tremendous persecution. I thought that was relevant this year when we're not able to have Pesach exactly the way we prefer to, but still we have to be the Akivas of our people. I wanted to add to that something. It is not from the Rav. This was the Rav had a different interpretation, just explaining why they all got together. It doesn't say why in Bnei Brak. The Rav said they got together because the mitzvah of Sipurei Mitzrayim is not just to tell the story, because we all know the story, but rather to go into it in depth. And all people at their own level. So the Talmidei Chacham had to get together to go into their own level. I just want to add one thing about Rabbi Akiva, relates to the Seder and this point of the Aruch HaShulchan. At the end of Magid, there's a bracha that we conclude Magid with. Right, and the bracha in the Machlokas and the Mishnah Psachim between Tarf and Rabbi Akiva is exactly what the text of that bracha should be. We accept the view of Rabbi Akiva that it's not only Asher Golana Vegala Savoseinu and ends Bracha Hashem Gal Yisrael. That's it. That's a Tarfon. But the Rabbi Akiva projects to the future. Cain Yagienu Lemoadim Lagal Acherim Sosim Ibn Yerecha Smechem and so on. And as Rabbi Akiva is projecting the future, this highlights that point of Rabbi Akiva being the optimist, projecting to a brighter future. Okay, going weiter. So a little bit later in the Haggadah, after the story of the Talmid Chachamim and the Mishnah in Brachas of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah concerning the recitation of the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema, what he calls Chiras Yisrael Shemayim at night, which the Rav said only comes in because the Girsa that the Rambam and others had, it wasn't Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but Amar Lahem, that it was at that setting, it was at that evening that the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made this point. Otherwise, we're going to ask the question again, as I mentioned yesterday, why in the world is that discussion in the Haggadah? It's got nothing to do with Sipurei Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's talking about the nightly mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which applies all year long. So why should the Haggadah incorporate that Mishnah? It's got nothing to do with what we're, you know, with Pesach night. It's true tonight also, and any other night of the year. But again, the Rav had the gifts of the Rambam and his Haggadah, they printed at the end of Hilchos Chometz Matzah. It says, Omer Lahem Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Flows from the previous story. It was that night. Okay, after that we have the story of the Arba Bonim, and that's introduced with the phrase Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hu, and so on. And so the Rav developed, and this I actually heard from him in a different occasion, and something else, but it all ties together. The word Makom means place, but it means that it's a reference to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It means the omnipresent. Makomo shel olam, right? He's present everywhere. So we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is, we describe Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Makom. And the question is, we have many different quote unquote nicknames that we use for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, why was Makom suggested or used as the name here? We could say Ribono shel olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chanun Rachum, other nicknames are Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is a Makom used? And the Rav suggested that use of that name, we find that dafke on occasions when the person, a human being or a group of people, might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taka far away. In other words, even in places and in situations when we think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there, we don't sense his presence, we don't feel the Shekhinah and so on, that name reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in fact present, even we don't see him right away. The Rav said that's why dafke Rachmana Litzlan, when somebody's in Avelos, we conclude the Avelis by saying Hamokom Yinachem Eschem. So Hamokom, again, because a person is in Avelis, Rachmana Litzlan feels to a certain extent abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe ignored him or turned away from him, to listen to his tefillah. So we remind the Avel or the Avel of Hamokom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, he's in this place also, and that's the Nechama. Or the Yiratzin that we recite, after Kriyas HaTorah, normally on Mondays and Thursdays, we speak about Achenek Kol Beis Yonah Sunu Ratzor V'Shiva, we say Hamokom Yerachem Aleihem, because these are people who are suffering and who feel maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned them, so we use the name Mokom. And on Leil Yom Kippur, and this I think when I heard the Rav say, on Leil Yom Kippur, when obviously a person is about to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're in the middle of recounting all of our Averas and Al-Chaitz and everything else, we feel that there's something between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we begin Kol Nidre, Al Da'as HaMokom, Al Da'as HaKol, and so on. So the Rav said over here too, the way he described it, said it differently. The way I heard it was, it's just in Mitzrayim, many of the Jews felt abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So therefore, again, we turn Baruch HaMokom. The Rav at different times suggested that you introduced Dafka the Arba Bonim with the term Makom, because one might have thought that the only person who's really capable of understanding is the Ben Chacham, right? He's really the only one who's able to understand what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. And other people at the table who don't understand it may feel that they're distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, the Talmud Chacham, the Ben Torah, he's got all kinds of different Torah and you know, insights to share. And sometimes there are people at the table that they don't feel that same connection. They're more in the category, hopefully not of the Rosh, but of the Tom, or maybe they're Shein Adel Ishol. You know, they don't have really that much to say, or that much contribute to the Seder. But we say, no, can I get Arba Bonim to the Torah? We say, Baruch HaMokom. Baruch HaMokom. In the Shela, the question of the Ben Chacham, so we answer by saying, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomon, which is a Mishnah, one of the last Mishnayos in the Masechta. Some have the text. I think the Vilna Gaon text was that we answer the Ben Chacham ad Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. You tell him all the dinim of Pesach up until through. That's the last. We tell him all the Mishnais, all the dinim of Pesach ad up until, and including all the laws of the Afikomen and everything else. In other words, now based on that, the Gaon made the point, and that was his girsa also, that the Talmid Chachamim who were up all night in Bnei Brak were not Misapim and Sis Mitzrayim. We're talking about it. We're learning Hilchas Pesach. Hilchas Pesach, that there's an Indian on Pesach, not only to discuss Sipur Yetzias, but to learn Hilchas Pesach. And it's Tosefta like that, that the Rav referred to in the 10th Perek of Pesachim, Tosefta number Ches, and the Rosh mentions this. So that's one point. As far as the Afikoman is concerned, so the Rav mentioned that our practice, of course, is not to end the meal with the Korban Pesach, which was what they did when they had the Korban Pesach, but rather with the matzah. The idea was that the central food is what should remain in one's mouth. And the main mitzvah of the night, by us, is matzah. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash was Korban Pesach, so therefore the last thing he was a Korban Pesach. According to some Rishonim, the reason we have Afikoman today, at the end of the meal, is a Zechel of Korban Pesach. Some say that's the Iker Kim of Matzah, to the Machlokas. But according to many Rishonim, the purpose of the Afikoman is having a dafka at the end of the meal, when, let's be honest, you're not really that, I don't know, not the plotzing for another piece of matzah at the end of the meal. Most of us find the Afikoman, I don't speak for anyone else, right? I find the Afikoman a difficult mitzvah, you know, because, you know, we already had matzah and mora and korech, and then we had a meal, and, you know, you're not that excited necessarily to have, oh, good, now I have another piece of matzah. Just what I was waiting for, you know. But nonetheless, that's the mitzvah, because in the olden days, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Korban Pesach had to be ala sova, when you're satiated, so you wouldn't eat too much, you wouldn't break the bones and so on, you take a bite. But now it's the matzah instead. And apparently this is part of the inyan of the mitzvahs of the evening. So that's what we tell the Chacham, this din, which is not so obvious, and that's what we share with the Chacham. With the Rasha, we say that he was hotzi esatz min haklal. He says, fisha hotzi esatz min haklal, kofar be'ikar. Right, he said, Mahavadazos lochem, lochem below low, right? He excluded himself from the tzibur. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, right, in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes that a person who removes himself or separates himself from the tzibur loses his share in Olam Haba, even though he didn't necessarily do any particular Avera. Right, he may not have done Eimeibin Shomer Shabbos. He may not have done any particular special avera or a group of averas that would warrant him being removed from Chelek Olam Haba. Nonetheless, the fact that he separates himself and fails to identify with the Tzibur of Kol Yisrael, that's enough to remove him. And the Gaon points out that we look in the Chumash when the Rosha asked that question, Mavar Azos Lachem, there's no answer. We don't really address, you know, the the Haggadah doesn't give the answer the Torah gives. The Torah just says Amartem Zevach Pesach and so on. That answer is not given to the Rosha. We separate the question, which we've assigned to the Rosha, with the answer the Torah gives. We don't give that answer. And idea suggests to go, and the Rav mentioned me this point, when you say Amartem Zevach Pesach, you're not talking to him. He doesn't want to hear an answer. Okay, he's not interested in an answer. He's interested in making a statement. Okay, so therefore you make a statement. Vamartem. So the idea is that a person has to view himself as a member of Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, Hotzi es atzmo min haklal. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's like your kofar ba'ikar. Just I'll tell you from practical experience, when somebody converts, so a person becomes a ger or a georis, so of course the person has to learn about mitzvahs and so on. But one of the things which I always mention is that part of what you're doing when you're accepting Ol HaTorah, you're becoming a ger or a georis, is that you're part of Klal Yisrael, and that the history of Klal Yisrael now becomes your history, and the destiny of Klal Yisrael now becomes your destiny. And I tell the person, there have always been, we've typically been a persecuted people, unfortunately. And right now, you're not in that category. It's not enough. It's not just that you're mekabel to keep Shabbos and to keep Kashrus and to keep Taras Mishpocha and to make brachas and to daven and to keep all the Yom Tov and everything else that the ger has studied and to know all of the animamins and to buy into mitzvahs maisios and even the chovos halavavos, but also that you're part of the destiny and the history in the past and the destiny and future of Klal Yisrael. They have to be like gear, and a rush who removes himself from there is considered like kofar beikar. Finally, at the end of after the Arba Bonim, that we finally for today, at the end of the Arba Bonim, we make mention of the fact that the mitzvah, the Yochel Meresh Chodesh, right? Really, what's the Havamin? The Havamin is we can already start fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipris Yisrael at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Alachem Rosh Chodoshim, right? So now Tamad Lomar by Omahu. No, by Omahu. So maybe by Omahu means, says the Brisa, which we quote in Agada, by Omahu maybe means that when you bring the Korban Pesach, Mibod Yom, in the afternoon, because again, we call the whole holiday Pesach, but that's a slang, so to speak. When the word Pesach, just a general rule, appears in the Torah and in the Tanakh, it's referring to what we call Erev Pesach. Pesach in the Tanakh is the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach, which we call Erev Pesach, next Tuesday, the 14th of Nisan. The Yontav is called Chag HaMatzos. In the Kiddush and the Davening, we say Yom Chag HaMatzos is there. Pesach, we call the whole holiday Pesach. Really, the first day is really Pesach. So just a point to bear in mind, when you see Mochas HaPesach, for example, Pesach Chumash, at the end of B'midbar, it means the day after the bringing of the Korban Pesach, not after the holiday of Pesach. That's a later, again, the holiday is called Chag HaMatzos, as we identify in the Torah, as we identify in the Kiddush, and throughout the Davening. We never call Yom Chag HaPesach HaZeh. But the Brisa has a Havamin that we quote in Haggadah, that maybe the mitzvah Sipur Yisrael Mitzrayim should be done B'bod Yom, when you bring the Korban Pesach Taka, Wednesday afternoon, you bring the Korban Pesach. So the answer is no, because it says Bab Rizel Omarti Al B'Shosh Sheish Matzo Umorim or Matzo Umorim Munochem Lefanecha. Okay, you only have the mitzvah Sipur Yisrael Mitzrayim at the time when there's a chiyav of matzah and moror, and that's not in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. That's only v'achos habosar b'layla hazet tzliyeh shematos amrom yochlu. That's only at night. Therefore, the mitzvah Sipur Yisrael Mitzrayim is not during the day of Erev Pesach. We call Erev Pesach, or the day the Torah calls Pesach, but rather once Chag HaMatzos arrive. Just as a side point, they say, I think, from Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, that that's part of the love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has for us. We refer to the holiday in the slang as Pesach, because that emphasizes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Sher Pesach al Botei Bnei Yisrael. So that's what we highlight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Chag HaMatzos because he highlights what we do. We eat matzahs. Okay, cute idea. But anyway, the Rav noted in the name of the Vilna Gaon, the Biarg, there's a minig, this coming Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol, there's a minig that the Ramo quotes that some people have to recite part of the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol. From Avodim Hayinu up until after Dayanu, Lechapra al Nafsho Seichem. So that's the many people, and it says in the Haggadah to say, it says Ad Kan B'Shabbos HaGadol, right? So it's some people, I have that practice myself, it says in the Ramo, but the Vilna Gaon was not in favor of that practice. This is in Siman Tof Lamed of Or HaChaim. Ramor brings that practice, but the Biur HaGra disagrees because no, the only time we have that practice is B'Shoah Sheish Matzah Mor Menachem Fanecha, when you have Matzah Mor. So there's no Matzah Mor at Shabbos HaGadol, and therefore he said there's no Inyan. He disagreed with this custom. Okay. And then the answer is, others say, no, that's in terms of the mitzvah and so on, but you know, when you want to perform the mitzvah, but we assume, the Ramah probably assumes that it's just a preparation, it's just getting yourself in the mood. Okay. Anyway, so people should follow whatever their minig is. But what's interesting that the Rav noted is that, you know, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not really finished with Magid. Hallel is also part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, the Gemara on the Daf Lamed Vav and Psachim says that when the Torah describes matzah as lechem oni, aside from poor man's bread, right? Aside from poor man's bread, it's funny to call it poor man's bread. Like I said, it's $28 a pound. But aside from that, lechem oni is defined by the Gemara as lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. It's lechem concerning which we answer or we declare certain things. Okay, bread which we declare onim. And Rashi, there on the page, in Psachim, on Rav Med Aleph, Rashi, the Machsel Sha'onim, says, we say the story, and Gomer is a Hallel. We say the Hallel over the matzah. Okay? And the Rambam also stresses in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah says, Kuf Nun Zayin, the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Chafalach, when they present the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, they both state that the Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim includes thanking, La Hallel, La Hodos. That's part of the mitzvah. The thing is, by the time we say Hallel, after benching, the matzah mar is gone already. There's no more matzah on the table. Right? We've already finished eating the matzah. If we say the first two paragraphs of Hallel, we say before the meal. But by the time you say Hallel, the end of the Seder, Gomer is a Hallel, there's no longer any matzah mar at the table. The mitzvah to eat it has already been done. So if Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be done in connection with the matzah and the mar, so how can we include Hallel as part of that? So you could say the reference in that Rashi is only the first two paragraphs of Hallel, but the Rav suggested that maybe that's one of another reason why we ain maftir achar Pesach afikomen, that we keep the matzah flavor in our mouth. I'll call upon him. We don't have the matzah in front of us, but we have still the taste of the matzah in our mouth. Okay, that's why the last thing that we eat after dessert, the last thing that we eat, is the only other thing we do is to drink the other abricoses. But in terms of the eating, the last thing we eat is matzah. So in a certain sense, at the time when we're reciting the Hallel, the second part of the Hallel anyway, the majority of the Hallel, we don't have the matzah more. I mean, there could be pieces of matzah on the table, but in terms of the mitzvah is done already, but I have it in my mouth. So in a certain sense, it's still in the category of at least the matzah flavor we still have in our mouth at that point. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue more Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. And we'll have Shia. Is everyone okay with 11:30? Does that work for everybody? Yeah, that works for everybody today. Okay, so Mitzvah Shem 11:30. I will send the Maror Makomos shortly to Philip and he'll forward them to you. We'll start Siman Kuf Hei today. Okay, have a good morning.
Thank you.